So the question was asked, shouldn't one measure his aspirations to be a Beinoni? And the question was also posed that in the Tanya we find the great discussion about the Beinoni, and you don't hear people talking about Beinoni much. So if you look at the Tanya, the first page, the Tanya is really called Sifran Shel Beinonim, the book for Beinonim. That's how the Rebbe called the Tanya. And much of the Tanya discusses what a Beinoni is and expands on how a Beinoni serves his creator. The Tanya had a special understanding as to what a Beinoni is. Even in Chabad, they speak about a Beinoni, and they speak about a Beinoni of the Tanya. They say that if a person, if they want to honor a person and say that he's a very, very big person, so in Chabad they say he's a Beinoni of the Tanya. He's a Beinoni like the Tanya describes. But we should recognize that the Tanya is one opinion. If you go back hundreds of years, go back 1,000 years or 800 years, there's responses written, be it the Ramban or others on the Gemara, trying to understand what a Beinoni is. And not everyone goes the way the Tanya went. The Tanya is representing one understanding, which is a very, very important understanding, but that's his understanding. He puts the Beinoni on a very, very high level. It's true that according to his level, the Beinoni is, wow, it's way up there. People don't become a Beinoni. Most people, 99.9% of the people don't get to be a Beinoni. The Beinoni, the Tanya, the way the Tanya defines what a Beinoni is. The fact that we don't hear people talking about Beinoni is partially because we're not in Chabad. In Chabad, they would be talking about Beinoni. And secondly, we're not in Chabad, and outside of Chabad, the understanding of Beinoni is a little bit different. You ask the average person what a Beinoni is, they'll say, oh, that's someone who, half the time he sins, half the time he does mitzvahs, when he's up in heaven, his scale is balanced, he has half-half, so most of us strive to do much better than that. So when we speak about whether a person should strive to be a Beinoni or not, we have to define which kind of Beinoni we're talking about. as far as a person's striving, so there are two levels on which a person strives. Guys here once said, let's have a class in the halachot. I don't want to say of what. Guys asked for certain classes in certain halachot. And the same guy who asked it told me, he said, I want you to know, I'm not yet on the level where I could keep that. I'm not. I just learned the A, B, and C. I just learned about keeping kosher and other things. I'm not yet on the level I could keep those halachot. But at least I'll know where I'm supposed to be headed, what direction, where I'm supposed to get to, what halacha expects of me. And I think that there's an aspect where every person has to know where he's headed in a big sense, as far as life goes. If you ask me whether a person should strive to be a tzaddik, so in the big sense, I think the answer is yes. I think that every person is supposed to strive to be the biggest tzaddik and the biggest talmid chacham and be the best possible person he could be. That's in the big sense. On the other hand, there's a question of a person recognizing where he is today and where he could get to tomorrow and this week and next week and this year and next year. And there are people who have gone to learn with great extremes and tried to perfect themselves in an extreme way. And today they're crazy. They're in insane asylums. Even in a person's bettering himself and a person's becoming a tzaddik and a tamid chacham, there's a way of proceeding. Our sages say that there was a person who was very, very bad. There wasn't a brothel he hadn't visited. There wasn't a woman for hire he hadn't been with. He had been as bad as he could possibly be. And one day he heard a heavenly voice say that everyone's going to get to the world to come. He's not. If I'm not mistaken, that's one version of the story. There's another version that he was once with a woman who told him, where are you going to be at the end of the day?
Right.
You don't stand a chance.
No, it's actually...
This is the one that's running the Gemara, but I think the other version might be in a Medrash Tanhum. Maybe not. I don't know.
There was this one girl that lived far, but apparently she was the most expensive, and he only wanted to have her. And he went far to get her. And then when he was with her, he goes, and him who was like, you know, from, I guess, you know, she says, this most prestigious prostitute says, I don't remember what the exact words were, but it was like, whatever she said, he was like, he felt like he wasn't going anywhere on his from there. He was like, at that moment, he cried till, and apparently he said he was going to heaven just from that.
Yeah, so he recognized in 1 second that's it. He's the bottom of the barrel. He's the worst person there is. He put his head between his knees and started crying. And he let out such a roar, he dropped dead. He died. He died out of sheer agony. And the heavenly voice came out and said that Ashrecha Rabbi, gave him the title Rabbi, like Rabbi, the Rabbi in the time of the Tanaim, that you merited to have the world to come. And right, that's the Gemara. It doesn't say that's where a heavenly voice came out. I didn't remember correctly earlier. She told him, I don't remember what line she told him, but he took it to heart that he's not going to get there. He's going to end his life worst off as possible. And on that second, he broke down. And he really, really repented that second. But you see that it took everything out of him. He died. People have to try and get to the top. Can a person switch in 1 second? So the Gemara says, yeah, yesh kono lamo b'sha'achat. A person could, in 1 second, get the world to come. Sometimes people are in specific situations where if they capitalize on the situation, in 1 second they could get everything. You had Roosevelt. He had a situation where the ships were at bay. He had thousands of Jews he could let into the United States or send them back to the gas chambers. In that second, he lost any merit he might have had in the world to come. Not that I understand the merits to the world to come, but that seems to make sense. He said, send them back to the chambers. We're not letting them in. So, okay. They were sent back to the chambers. People have moments where they could win their world to come in a second or lose all of their world to come in a second. So, it's not to say a person can't do a big switch. But usually, in order for a person to remain balanced and sane and move forward, he has to build. And building takes time, and you build. But I think that a person's long-term perspective should be to be a tzaddik and the best things that could be. A person's short-term perspective, a person has to slowly take chunks and build up to them. And the last point is that we have to recognize that there are empirical values. There is a tzaddik, is the top level, which is where a person aspires to be. But there's also a personal value. Meaning when we're measured in respect to where we came from and what our potential is. A person says, you know, I don't know anything, I'm just starting out. Yeah, that doesn't mean he can't be a tzaddik at his level. He might merit a lot, and this isn't my assumption. This is written in a sefer called Beit Elokim by the Mabit, who was a contemporary of Rav Yosef Karo's. He writes that a person could learn an hour a day and a person could learn 15 hours a day. But if the guy who's putting in an hour a day is doing the best he possibly can, and the guy who's putting in 15 hours a day could really learn 17 hours a day, then in the world to come, the guy who's doing an hour a day is going to get more because he's fulfilling his potential. He's doing the maximum he could. So I think also that there's a question of perspective. As far as ourselves, a person shouldn't say, I can't be a tzaddik. He should say, I'm going to be the best possible person I could be today, and I'm going to try to reach the level of the empirical sense of a tzaddik in the long term. And I am being a tzaddik today. So maybe the world doesn't recognize it. Maybe I haven't reached the empirical sense of a tzaddik. But I'm battling fights every day. I have to overcome and get up and do what's right. The guys know the story about the girl I was dating who asked me, where are you going to be in 20 years? And I think you haven't heard it yet. I told her, I don't know. So she said, you mean you don't know you're going to be learning Torah in 20 years? I said, I don't know. I can't sign a contract where I'll be in 20 years. I told her, every morning I wake up and there's someone standing next to my bed. It's called the Yetzer Hara. And he's fresh and vibrant every morning. He has new tactics and new thoughts and new ways to attack. And when I wake up in the morning, some days I have more strength, some days I have less strength. Some days I can beat him up, and some days he pulls one over me. Do I know for 20 years I'm going to win him every day? I don't know who's going to win. I know that he's always strong. Whether I'm strong or not, I don't know. So I don't know where I'll be in 20 years. But I know that till today, it's been quite a number of years, that I think I'm on a relative uphill battle. That do I know where I'll be tomorrow? I don't know where I'll be tomorrow. I have no way of knowing. Today, this is where I am. And I think that's a perspective a person has to have. He has to try to think, long term, I got to get much higher. Short term, hey, I've done something. It's not that I'm losing. I'm winning. I'm moving forward. The graph does have an upward slope. So there are ups and there are downs, and there are ups and there are downs, but there is an upward slope. And, they say that one time the Netziv, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who was Rav Kook's Rebbe in Europe, lived about 100 years ago. So when he was young, he was learning in Beis Medrash, and the Mashgiach walked over to him and asked him, where's your Chavrusa? So he said, my Chavrusa is the Yetzer Hara. So he said, what are you doing learning with a scoundrel like that? So he said, for two reasons. One, he's much smarter than I am. And two, whenever I want to learn, he's there and ready. Best Chavrusa there could be. That's what the Netziv answers. That's true. A person always has to overcome his Yetzer Hara, and a person has small battles and big battles. There are small battles every day where a person has to decide whether he's going to be a better person or not. And there's the long-term battle. And life is about becoming the best possible person we could be. And I don't think it's legitimate for any person to say, I can't be a tzaddik. I don't think so. I think even the Tanya, who draws up a Beinoni, is what most people think a tzaddik is. And by him, a tzaddik is way above a Beinoni, and way above what we call a tzaddik. Yeah. Even he would agree, I think, that a person has to have a long-term plan to be a tzaddik. And on the short term, so...
He also says David the Melech is considered the tzaddik. So, I mean, anything below that is a Benoni, in his opinion.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah? Okay.